virtual couch.
Hey, let's get cozy and comfortable and get ready to hear some enlightening, empowering, and inspiring talk with Letitia. Letitia's Virtual Couch.
So you've hit the genetic lottery, lucky you, meaning you were blessed with the physical talent most of the world just do not have. But sports can be quite brutal on one's physical and mental well-being. The documentary Student Athletes, released October 2nd, 2018, chronicles how difficult it is to live a stress-free, balanced life given the rigorous demands of maintaining good academic standing, to maintain eligibility while performing in the sports they love and prevent from being cut, and for some, endangering their future as a student due to being on scholarship. So now imagine, just now imagine, one having a pre-existing mental health condition. Yes, a pre-existing mental health condition. It can be exacerbated by the demands of being an athlete, whether you know it or not. Now, let me just preface this podcast and say, Simone, you are not a national embarrassment. It is okay to not be okay. I also want to commend Michael Phelps for standing up for Simone and being one of the many faces of Talkspace, which is an online therapeutic platform that provides therapy to individuals and promoting mental health for athletes and individuals as a whole. Now, on July 27th, during the Tokyo Games, Simone Biles withdrew herself from the team finals. Initially, it was stated that she had suffered a physical injury, as Americans were receiving the news as the day was breaking. However, we later discovered her decision was due to mental health reasons, and I say bravo to her and others, including Naomi Osaka, who withdrew herself from the French Open, as more and more are considering and choosing their own mental health over external trinkets and pressures by pushing themselves to the limits at the expense of their sanity. Now, more recently, Simone competed in the women's balance beam finals and won a bronze medal. And kudos to her for that. But I will ask this question. Did Simone succumb to the pressures of the backlash that the nation, and I will say the world as a whole, but especially America, was giving to her? Now, let me just say this, because I'm very honest. I will say I had a change of heart after having some very heated debates with some friends regarding her decision to withdraw herself. However, some are still valid, as I would like to have a little discussion on how we balance and differentiate between what's appropriate to foster and build character and what's just too much for our children. So when I return, let's talk some sports, athletes, and mental health. Stay tuned. The discussions on this podcast is for informational purposes only. If you find yourself becoming triggered by any topic, please refrain from listening and reach out to your nearest emergency room or dial 911. If you desire to seek therapy in the future, please Google and find your nearest therapist in close proximity to you. Thank you.
Hey,
This is your girl, Letitia, coming to you from the virtual couch. I want to take a little bit of your time today to discuss how to find the right therapist. Now, like with anything, your hairstylist, your gardener, your medical doctor, it may take a few tries before you find the right fit. Finding the right therapist is no different. So stay the course and don't give up. Also, I want to empower you to ask questions. Do not feel like you're being intrusive by asking questions, because guess what? This is the person that's going to lead you and guide you towards your healing. And this is a very important partnership. So I will say this, even as a therapist myself, if a therapist becomes offended by any questions that you may have, just like with any other individual that I discussed before, like your doctor, your gardener, whoever, someone, you know, working on your home, if they become offended, you're probably not going to hire them, right? Exactly. Your therapist is no different. So don't feel offended. Don't be offended by the degrees and the licenses and, yes, all those hard things we worked for, but we're here for you. And so it is your right to ask every question you need to ask to make sure it is the right fit for you. And again, it may take a few tries. And again, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person or that therapist is a bad person either. It just means that, you know what, they may not be the right person to guide you on your journey. So I want to leave you with a few resources. Psychologytoday.com is a resource where you can view various therapists, and you can even input your area by your zip code, your city, and your state to find the therapist nearest you. You can also go to therapyforblackgirls.com and therapyforblackmen.org. Please seek these resources out. They are awesome. There are some wonderful, very experienced therapists on these sites, some of which are my beautiful colleagues, and I know the hard work that they do, and they are waiting to hear from you. Okay, so I'm not gonna take any more of your time, because I know you can't wait to get to that computer, right? And search out that therapist. So I'm not going to say anything further. If you want to tell me about your experience, I would love to hear about it. Please email me at virtualcouchpodcast1@gmail.com. And happy hunting. Take care.
Have a seat on the virtual couch.
Get it, girl. Let's go.
Approximately 46.6 million people are living with a mental illness in the U.S. That's 1 in 5 adults who will be living with a mental health condition at some point in their lives. Although many manage symptoms with therapy, medication, and eating a healthy diet, physical activity and exercise have shown to boost one's mood and improve overall mental health. When we get our bodies moving, we increase natural hormones, right? Endorphins and other natural hormones. I think it's another one called enkephalines, and I'll spell that for you. Enkephalins. And I'll spell it again. Enkephalins. So our bodies have a way of course, and we talked about this before in other episodes, is our natural and our first line of defense. And so when we are feeling out of sorts, which Simone was very in tune with her body, and I can say I give her kudos for that. She knew that she wasn't feeling right, and so she withdrew, because later that I learned, and I have to apologize for, you know, gymnastics is a very physical sport. I knew that on the surface, but really knowing what entailed in that, it's a lot that goes into it. You know, they are high in the air, flipping multiple times, and she basically admitted to having what they call the twisties. And so what the twisties are is when someone loses
count of how many times I guess they flipped, you know, and that can be very dangerous and, you know, life altering. And yeah, one can die if they fall the wrong way. Absolutely. So I really get that. You know, a lot of times we don't give kudos to gymnastics and, you know, we think that football is the toughest sport ever. But no, these acrobatic moves, they are very dangerous. All we needed for her to do was land on her neck or something and, you know, instantly kill herself or be paralyzed for the rest of her life. So I totally, totally commend her. And then to come out even after that and still compete, you know, so I give credit what credit is definitely due. Okay. Now, all the sports are fun, you know, to let our hair down. You know, playing sports does not make athletes immune to mental health challenges, as we have come to know. With pressures to perform in the game, as well as, you know, performing for the rest of the public, being an athlete can be incredibly challenging for one's mental health, as we saw with Simone and so many others. Student athletes have additional pressures to maintain their classwork and grades on top of keeping up with practice and games. So, you know, when athletes get hurt, they receive time to heal, but about, you know, what about their injuries? You know, they have injuries that are not visible. And guess what? When they do get injured, they're still in danger of being cut and losing their scholarship. So it seemed like there's always pressure on these individuals to perform. And so right now I am focusing on student athletes because I think that's where a lot of these individuals begin, you know, at the collegiate level. With young adults, especially college athletes, the statistics are startling. 33% of all college students experience significant symptoms of depression, anxiety, or other mental health conditions. Wow, those numbers are definitely staggering. Among that group, 30% seek help. Only 30%. So guess what? That leaves the other percentage still out there playing and still probably in mental anguish. That's crazy. So you have 70% of individuals not seeking help, more than half. But of college athletes with mental health conditions, only 10% do. Among professional athletes, data shows that up to 35% of elite athletes suffer from a mental health crisis, which can manifest as stress, eating disorders, burnout, or depression and anxiety. While, you know, it may seem scary that there are small steps that one can take in our mental health, as I emphasized before. Scary, but there's things that we can do to be proactive. Now, this article emphasized talking to family, teammates, coaches, or support staff. You know, someone that you can share that something is going on with you. But of course, that person has to be someone that you're comfortable with, someone who's not going to judge you and shun you. Make an appointment with a therapist or trusted medical professional to help you identify sources of stress and manage your symptoms. Another good thing is to create a self-care plan for yourself to make sure you're setting aside time from training, even if you have to forgo a game. I'm serious. Academics and pressures of daily life to do something for yourself each day, such as meditate, prayer, take a walk, listen to music, walk a pet, and the list goes on. There are so many different coping skills that you can engage in, but it definitely have to be something that works for you. Now, I want to take another break and let's return to the couch after refilling your water, your tea, your coffee, or snacks. So I will be back after this short break. Now, let's go a little bit deeper on this topic. When is enough enough? To quit or not to quit? Professional and collegiate sports have often been compared to modern day slavery, where players are worked to the max for little to no pay or compensation. As for professional athletes, I will say people are a little less sympathetic due to their accumulating millions for little work, some will say. But the torture and wear and tear, I will admit, on their bodies and minds from competing and training is very hard. Now, CTE is a very common thing for NFL players where head contact is commonplace. And I've talked about CTE before when I've spoken about Junior Seau and Aaron Hernandez, who both died of suicide, and it was both attributed to CTE. Now, mind you, in a previous episode, I did speak on how CTE cannot be diagnosed until the person is deceased, expired, okay? Even more recently, I've learned that hockey players are almost expected to be beaten to a pulp, and they suffer a lot of head injuries and sometimes even death. I want you to look at watch the documentaries, Ice Guardian, and there's another one that's called The Code. And these are very, very insightful documentaries. And it goes into what goes on in the hockey world. Now, I've never been a hockey fan. You know, basketball, football is my thing, and even baseball sometimes. But it was just very interesting to see the things that we expect of our athletes, you know, all for entertainment. People are losing their lives and suffering lifelong injuries all for entertaining us. Now, however, I will say a little controversial thing, you know, regarding Simone Biles. As I said before, you know, there were people stating that she was a quitter, and I'm not gonna lie, I sort of was saying that before, because with this generation, I'm just going to admit, a lot of times our kids are used to being coddled and they're used to winning. And I think in a previous episode, I did say this is the generation of participation awards that everybody wins, and that's just not reality. So I was going on that, you know, level thinking that, okay, maybe she is just not competing and withdraw because she feel like she's gonna lose. But I think it was a little bit deeper than that. Now, was it some of that in the beginning? It could have been, because when you're used to winning, you know, in her defense, it is hard to lose. I'm just gonna be honest with you. That's just human nature. Now, I also spoke about the Participation Awards generation in another episode with Shikari Richardson and her disqualification, people thinking that she should be allowed to remain in the competition. And even she herself didn't feel that way. You know, I think her maturity level, it was just like impeccable, being that she felt that she deserved the consequence that she received. Now, does this generation who are used to instant fame, do they handle losing well? I don't think so. Again, I don't think so. And I think it's because of the adults, the pressures that we put on them. But sometimes we coddle our youth a little bit too much nowadays. Do they have it a little bit harder in society than we did? And I'm not too far off from this generation because I'm still young. But I think there's a lot more going on in the world too, where parents are more protective. I will say that. Now, how is this all contributing to the mental turmoil and anguish of our youth? I think sometimes we need to let our youth fall on their backside a little bit, because it builds character. It just does. When you lose, you're more apt to have thicker skin and just navigate through life with losses a little bit better. It won't be the end of you. But like I said, on another note, she said that she had the twisties. And again, that means that she lost track of amount of twist she was doing while in the air. And again, that's very dangerous. So just having a little bit more information, I think for all of us, it is in every case, I think it's very important. Do I feel like she quit on her team? No, I don't. At this point, I don't. I think she had to do what was best for her. We have to do that sometimes. Sometimes people are not going to be happy with our decisions. And, I'm sorry, but I agree with her on that. And I think she even commented in saying that we are not mules. And I love that statement. You know, they are not workhorses that you can just work. They're human, you know? Just like I said with the twisties, if she would have made the mistake of falling on her neck or something, you know, that could have been fatal. So it was a great call that she decided to withdraw. She knew what was going on with her body. She knows better than anyone. And we all know, like, beyond anyone, what we can take and what we can handle, okay? Now, some are saying the U.S. walked in like they were entitled athletes. I talked about the U.S. before being egocentric. And I think this country, we can be a little bit egocentric. I think with traveling, as I stated before, it really humbles you to see how other people are living and just appreciate other cultures. But I don't know. What do you guys think? I think in this Olympics, the U.S. has been humbled. I'm so used to us receiving gold medals in almost every competition, every sport. And this Olympics, it didn't happen. It just didn't happen. So it seems like we got a little bit of humble pie in this Olympics. I'm just going to say. Now, I wanted to add this, even though I'm on Simone Biles' team again, I think she received a little bit of humble pie herself, because before she did walk around with the gold on her leotard and walking around like she was invincible. And I think God just have to humble us sometimes, where we can just get a reality check and say, hey, you know what? I'm not a machine. And not only that, it's just not all about us. It just isn't. And sometimes we can get a little big-headed when we're used to things going our way. And it seems like when we get a good dose of humility, it's almost like God pushing the reset button. And I think we've all been there before, right? Now, I wanted to go on before I close, but I'm going to take another break. I want to come back and discuss what the NCAA is doing now in response to all the backlash that, you know, the media has been covering about athletes and how student athletes have been treated. Stay tuned, and you definitely wouldn't want to miss this as well. So don't go anywhere. Go fill up your water, your tea, your coffee, get some more snacks, and still continue to be comfortable, because we're not headed home just yet. So please stay tuned.
Wanted to add, you know, Simone Biles has really gone through a lot recently with the loss of a family member. I believe it was her aunt. And people really forgotten that Simone Biles was also one of the victims who was sexually abused by Larry Nassar. In an interview by Teen Vogue, Simone Biles opened up about realizing she had been sexually abused. You know, she had really put it deep, deep, deep in the back of her mind. And that is very common with individuals who've been sexually abused. They would bury the memories into the subconscious, and then it sometimes is triggered by something that reminds them of the abuse. And so I'm believing that's what happened to her, because initially she was very angry with people when they were accusing the doctor of sexual abuse. The article goes on to say that she wouldn't talk to her family about the allegations. And before she admitted to herself that she had been abused, Simone says she went through a period where she just wanted to hide from everything. Now, these are her words. She said, at one point, I slept so much because for me, it was the closest thing to death without harming myself, she said. It was an escape from all of my thoughts, from the world, and from what I was dealing with. It was really a dark time. So we have no idea if anything triggered those things, because just imagine, this is her job, but this was also the place that she was abused. And when I say place, I mean, this is what she was doing. This is what she loves to do, but this was the team doctor. So we don't know if there was a smell, there was a sound, or just a memory of doing a certain move triggered her sexual abuse. So, you know, with that, I just wanted to, you know, put that into mind as well, that our student athletes are human and we don't know what everyone's background is. So being that they are also under this pressure, that can also trigger other stressful memories. So I just wanted to add that as well. So yeah, you know, she is very, very, I would say, heroic for being able to even just going out and competing again. And, you know, again, I think it was probably pressure, but it could have been within herself. She wanted to prove something to herself. And so I commend her greatly for that. So I just wanted to add that as well before the break. So please stay tuned for more. If you or someone you love is having thoughts of suicide, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-TALK. It is available 24 hours, 7 days a week. You are not alone.
Did y'all enjoy the break? Now find your spot on the virtual couch and get ready to hear our girl Letitia drop some more gems on ya. Drop some more gems on them, Letitia.
Letitia, drop some more gems on them.
Athletes, amazing for the athletes. You finally get paid for being you. You can get paid for your name, your likeness, your image. It is terrible for the sport.
Ooh, let's hear it.
Great for the athlete, terrible for
okay,
the sport.
Let's go.
College football is already currently swimming upstream as far as creating parity. There are about 13 teams on an annual basis that can win the national championship. And as of late, there are about 4 to 5. LSU, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Georgia, whoever you want to say. It's only about 4 to 5, maybe 6 teams lately that can actually win the national championship. Mm. But now, by allowing college athletes to be paid for their likeness and their image, it is amazing for the individual, and it is great by intent. But imagine I was going to go to a small school. I'm a top flight recruit.
Columbia?
Going to go to a small school like Columbia, but all of a sudden an individual comes up and says, well, Sal, if you go to this big name program, I can guarantee you'll get $500,000 for 50 autographs. Now you're looking like, wait, why in the world would I go to this smaller school when this big name program got big time bread for me? It essentially is legalizing the payment of college athletes, which will only make parity that much harder to attain in the sport. Amazing for the athletes, and the athletes do deserve being compensated for their name, their likeness, and their image, but it does make it harder to achieve the ultimate goal of parity in sports.
Okay. I like your take, but we're going to have a conversation that's going to include some pushback.
Let's go.
First, let me say this. This rule change right here, I don't understand why people are celebrating in the streets. It's a distraction. It is not the end goal. It's not the end game. It was not the purpose you got on this mission in the first place. So mission not accomplished. It's the banana in the tailpipe, as Eddie Murphy once said. Think about this. I'm on a team, and some of these teams, my coach is making $8 million. And they just walked up to me and said, oh, you can get paid being you now. Basically, he told me I could be a Kardashian, which is the best job in the world. Y'all won. You can be yourself and you get paid for it. That sounds amazing. Those should be golf claps, if anything. You know why? Because instead of compensation, a base salary, you try to sell me a commission base. Get it with your muscles. Get it with your hustle. Do you know the disparity that will be created between those 18 years young, told now, know your value, have that value proposition sold locally, regionally, nationally, and monetize off of it. The NCAA is lying to these athletes in terms of how this is going to benefit them because they know how it's going to play out pragmatically. Behind closed doors, they're sitting there giggling like, good luck trying to go out there and sell yourself. And then good luck for the few that will sell themselves because the rest of them will be sitting in that locker room with resentment. Why am I over here? One, it's not just important just to play. It's not just important just to start. It's like, what am I getting out of this? Because many, if not most, are not going pro in the first place. So now you've made this the end game. And in the end game, they're not getting what they should in the beginning. They're not getting what they should in the initial stage. It's really bass ackwards, as they say. You making me hustle for something you owe me. You making me work for something you're supposed to give me already. And I hate when people say they give them free board and tuition. Shut up. Nike gave me free product every single time I wanted it. You know why? Because it's not really free. Y'all paying for it in the masses. The student body pays for the athletes by the margins. They education probably costs 10 G's. They charging 70 G's. That other 60 G's is going to pay this room and board and tuition. But nah, that ain't how they gonna propose it. They gonna propose it like this. Oh, you guys have the freedom to do whatever you want to do. Get paid. If you don't start with a base salary of monetary compensation, you already done tricked me, and I ain't going for it.
That's good. Now, because I've debated this conversation several times, I think here is the issue with the logic. So, okay. Forbes study shows that the top-paying revenue-earning college programs, Texas A&M, $107 million. Texas, $100 million. Not profit, but revenue.
Okay.
$100 million. A&M, $107 million. Ohio State, Alabama, Michigan round out the top five. Here's the issue.
Let's go.
Only two programs and 98% of college programs make money. Football, basketball. Because of Title IX, however, though, Sal, if you pay the football player, you also got to go play the men's soccer player. If you pay the basketball player, you also have to pay the rower, even though the rower and the soccer player are losing money.
Yes.
So as a result, the football player is taking an unfortunate L. I took one at Texas. I couldn't get paid because Texas football had to keep all the other programs afloat. That ain't fair to me. Mm-hmm. However, at least now they're saying, hey, Acho, eat what you kill.
Yeah.
Kill what you eat.
Yeah.
As long as you can make some bread, I'm not going to stop you. So while in a perfect world, and you see your boy, they were selling my jersey, Sal. They were selling my jerseys on campus in the co-op. That's me, 18. That's my brother, 81. They selling your boy's jerseys. I ain't see no coins from it.
Yeah.
At least now they're saying, hey, Acho, if you can go get paid, go get paid, because we really, theoretically, couldn't pay you and pay everybody else who's losing money and stay afloat. And that's the caveat I don't think athletes...
That we take care of this program, which is at the bottom, while we are making the money and funneling it from the top programs. Mm-hmm. Football and basketball, let's just be real, okay? Here's the problem. Coaches are making too much money. So you got a $5 million, $6 million, $7 million, $8 million coaches, right? Now, you're sitting there with a roster of, 100 players? And you're saying we don't have the money. Well, one, I know an easy way to get some of this money. And they get bonuses the further they go.
So,
wait a minute. You paying them $8 million, but he's going to end up getting $10 million with bonus. Where'd that other $2 million come from? It can't come to us, so that's part one. That's one route. Here's another route. The masses pay for everything on margins. That's why we give free swag. Everywhere we go, we give free. You just got a Lexus. For free.
Well, kind of.
And a chip. But here you go. But I digress. But the point is, you charge the rest of the student body, and then that's where you get more. Here's another way. Ticket sales just go up $2.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many ways where the money's already there, or you could disperse it differently. We'll see how to...
allowed collegiate athletes to make money from their name, image, and likeness. While many current athletes started signing deals almost immediately, many on social media began to ask which former athlete would have made the most money off their likeness. So, Shannon, which former college football player would have made the most money?
I think I might surprise you, Skip.
Hmm.
I'm going Johnny Football.
Hmm. Ah, that's a good
point. Johnny Football, Skip, baby. The house that Johnny built. Skip, he trademarked the name Johnny Football, became the first redshirt freshman to win the Heisman Trophy. During his Heisman season, A&M got $740 million in pledges and gifts, an all-time record for a public university. Mm-hmm. Now, Johnny Manziel is what he's He's what you want on social media. He's flashy, he's outgoing, and those are the influencers. Mm-hmm. And so guess what? Somebody's gonna attach their, not on somebody, a lot of companies and a lot of somebodies were going to attach their name to this young man. Oh, Johnny Manziel's gonna make $50 million. Mm. No question in my mind. Now, it's gonna be a quarterback, Skip, and in the SEC, it's a cold in the SEC. You know that. I don't know how much time you spend around SEC football, but growing up in the South,
you
better be. So you know. So you know about it. The Herschel Walker, mm-hmm. the Tim Tebow, the Cam Newton. Oh man, Cam would have made bank. Ooh, Lord, Cam would have made bank. Herschel Walker, Bo Jackson. Mm-hmm. Skip, but I'm gonna go Johnny football, because when he upset Alabama, he had to get a police escort to take him to class because the students wouldn't let him go to class. I'm going Johnny Football, Skip. You're gonna have to convince me somebody else gonna be Johnny Football.
Okay, I'm about to.
Okay.
One thing I do know about Johnny Football, that by his final year at Texas A&M, many of the top people at the university, and I know several of them, were down and out on Johnny because he was going south on them.
Yes.
He was in one incident after another,
yes.
And obviously, to our point here, he got busted for signing autographs,
right.
You know, and he admits now that, yeah, I was just doing it like crazy. And they docked him a half against Rice in the opening game. He couldn't play in the first half and because they couldn't quite nail it down. And he now admits, you know, yeah.
Skip, you and I both know, no one is signing 3,000, 10,000 items for free.
Mm-mm. No. And so now that's a thing of the past and a joke, because now you can sign as many as you want,
yes,
for as much as you want.
Right.
Way to go. Thank God for all of that.
AJ Green, Todd Gurley got suspended for 4 games for doing
correct.
That.
Shannon, you know where I'm going with
you. You go to Tebow.
It's the only place to go, because he became the most famous college football player ever. And I get you about Herschel. I know Herschel. I had my battles with Herschel, but we became friends. Mm-hmm. I don't know Cam, but he'd be up in there also. Reggie Bush would be
up in there. Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. We can go on and
on. I got him, Deion Sanders.
Absolutely. But think about Tebow's run through Florida. As a freshman, he was just the designated touchdown scorer. Mm-hmm. Chris Leak was the starting quarterback. But look at what Tebow did for a team that went on to win the national championship. He scored a bunch of touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He threw 5 touchdown passes, a lot of them jump passes from like 2 yards
right.
out, and he ran for 8 touchdowns.
Right.
And in the national championship game against Ohio State, they won 41-14. He ran for a touchdown and threw for a touchdown. He was a thing as a freshman. He was a force of nature as a freshman. People were buzzing about him as a freshman. And as a sophomore, all he did was win the Heisman mm-hmm. Trophy. And as a junior, all he did was he lost a regular season game to Ole Miss, and he gave, you could argue, the second most famous speech in the history of college football to the Rockne speech, right?
Yeah.
Where he gave the, I promise you we will do this
right.
and that and the other
mm-hmm.
after the Ole Miss game, and he backed it up. And they went and beat my Oklahoma Sooners in the national championship game, so he wins his second national championship as a junior. And even as a senior, he was still, once again, the SEC Player of the Year. And he would have been so big by his senior year, I think he would have eclipsed in bag all of the above.
Skip, here's the thing where Johnny Manziel works and Tim doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Tebow was a rock star with 0 rock star habits. Johnny Manziel was a rock
yep.
star with all the habits. Johnny Manziel was the
he
rock
did.
Band, the 80s rock band. He was the Mick Jagger. Skip, he was all that. That's what people like.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging out with Drake? Tim Tebow, so he hanging out with all the stars. He's sitting courtside, LeBron James dapping him up.
Mm-hmm.
That Texas money,
mm-hmm.
that thing deep. That oil money, they hit different. That oil money hit different. Now, I ain't saying they ain't got no money in Florida, but that oil money in Texas, that thing hit different.
So what do you think about student athletes actually owning their own likeness? They can profit from their own likeness. Now, both of those speak for yourself and undisputed. They raise some very good points, especially about my Reggie Bush. Me being a Trojan, yes, I graduated from USC as well as taught there as a professor, but I was a student during the Reggie Bush days. And when I say amazing, that man right there, he just to see him in person do those acrobatic moves, he would like literally be like Simone Biles in the air trying to make it to the, I'm not going to say trying to make it to the touchdown line. He made it. And just being a student there, I was just like, oh my God, I was at USC during the heyday when we were just dominating. And so Reggie Bush got a bad rap. You know, they took his Heisman Trophy away and a couple of our games, and I think championships, because he received some items. I think it was a home for his mom or something like that. And that's just a whole nother story, because when you have, you know, children from especially disadvantaged homes, Reggie Bush, he grew up in kind of like a middle-class home. I think he's from San Diego, and his mother was like a probation officer or something like that. But he wasn't really what we call disadvantaged, but he didn't have a lot of money. And so you have these children who they want to provide for their families. They're working hard, as you heard before, as I was stating, you know, what they go through every day. They don't own themselves. And when someone is coming to them with dreams, and I mean, come on, you probably would take it too, seriously. And so being that they instituted this new rule, I don't blame Reggie Bush for asking, okay, so where's my Heisman and where are the games, you know, because I earned those things from my hard work. Is where's the lie? Seriously. And for them to not entertain him and disregard what he's saying, it lets you know that they really don't care about these athletes at all. You know, it's really sad that it actually took this long. But you know, NCAA, they're trying to do something. I'm trying to be optimistic and as possible as I can when speaking about this. Now, again, like I said, NCAA, and this is from their website, excuse me, it said they have taken great strides in addressing mental health issues of their student athletes. So we're back to mental health again. The reason why I spoke on the whole owning your likeness again, and they are allowing students to be paid, or, you know, from endorsements, is because it does take a toll on mental health. I think it's all relevant. So on their website, the NCAA.org, it's stated that they believe that mental health is a part of athletes' health. Mental health exists on a continuum, with resilience and thriving on one end of the spectrum, and mental health disorders that disrupt a college athlete's functioning and performance at the other. We strive to provide access to quality mental health care with the goal of creating a culture where care seeking for mental health issues is as normative as care for seeking physical injuries. Now that sound good and dandy, right? So I'm gonna do a little bit more research to see if they're really putting their money where their mouth is. I think the whole owning their likeness is a step. I really do, because again, I don't like to use the term modern day slavery, because I think it minimizes what slavery actually was. But I get the comparison, right? You know, someone is basically being worked to the max, basically. I mean, these kids are being driven like workhorses. And like I said before, if they have a pre-existing mental health condition, it can, you know, exacerbate the situation. So I'm going to end here. And do your own research too. And if you have any additional information, please email me at virtualcouchpodcast1@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. And stay well, be well. If you're a student athlete, you know, take care of yourself. If you are a parent of athletes, make sure they are caring for themselves and that they are advocating for themselves and being advocated for. Because if we don't do it, no one will. So with that said, God bless you. And I will be talking to you from the comfy couch next time. Okay?
Wasn't that show fire? I hope you enjoyed your time on the virtual couch with our girl Tisha. on Leticia's Virtual Couch.
You did that, Leticia.
Leticia's Virtual Couch.